it's time to move forward. It's time to move on. We don't want to miss out on the good things that God's going to do. So just letting it go, letting it go. And we learned about that last week, right? We learned from Hezekiah. And I love how the Lord works. He is always, he's in eternity and he laughs, but he's always thinking forward. Always thinking forward. Even when we lose some battles, even when we give in to doubt and fear and temptation, even when we begin to compromise, even when you give to the enemy what is the Lord's, no matter how much you've blown it, let's just say it that way, yet still there's hope for us. Still, when you draw another breath, there is time to turn back to the Lord and to see what he can do. I love what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah was so distraught, so in the midst of chaos, and he wasn't sure what to do. He was losing battles. The enemy had come in and stolen the fortified cities. And so Hezekiah went into the presence of God, and he literally just laid out. He physically, literally laid out all the bad words, all the good words, all the mess that he was in. And he just asked the Lord to intercede in his behalf. And oh boy. When Hezekiah said, "I trust in you, Lord," wow, what the Lord did. The Lord went ahead of him, fought his battles, gave him the victory. That fortified city that was lost was taken back, right? God is trustworthy. He's the only constant in this ever-changing life. The Bible study recently finished going through the book of Isaiah, and they learned about all of these struggles that God's people went through. Heartbreaking, painful results of just not trusting God. His people kept walking in rebellion. They just kept doing what they wanted to do. And when God finally honored their wishes and stepped back, removed his cover of protection over them, their enemies came rushing in, overcame them, destroyed them. But even in the middle of that correction, even in the middle of that discipline, God still kept pursuing his people. He still kept calling them back to him. He kept telling them, "If only you would turn your hearts back to me, I'd deliver you. I'd bring you back in from the east, south, north, west. I'd bring you in. I would bless you. I will make you my people. I will be your God once again. If you just turn back to me." He promised to restore them, to deliver them, to bless them. But still in the middle of all that, they wouldn't listen to God. They still wouldn't listen. They refused to admit that they had even done anything wrong. Anybody know anyone like that? My wife should amen it really loud, right? She lives as a bonehead that I am, that doesn't like to admit when he's wrong or excuse it away. But that's what God's people kept doing. Refused to admit that they had sinned. Refused that they had done anything wrong. And so God used their enemy as a tool of discipline to correct them in the hopes not to destroy them. That was not his heart. His heart was to return them back to him so that he could bless them richly. And in the middle of all that, Isaiah was faced with a decision. He had to either go along with the rest of the people, believing and trusting what they would say and do, or to trust in the Lord. He had a choice, to go with the crowd or to go with the Lord, to trust in what they were saying or to trust in what God was saying. And this is what we find here in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11, and I'm going to skip some and go into 22. I believe this is the word that the Lord is really speaking to us this morning. We're hearing a lot of stories. We're hearing a lot of facts. And I believe right now, even you personally, you're hearing a lot of things. You're hearing a lot of voices in your head. Maybe from the media, maybe from doctors, maybe from your own imagination, maybe from the enemy himself. And you're also hearing the voice of the Lord. And like Hezekiah last week, you're hearing all of these things, and you're not sure what to believe. This morning, the Lord is going to redirect us and to teach us and to equip us how to stand on his truth. Because his truth even trumps facts. It was a fact that Lazarus was dead in the grave for, 3 days? 4 days? It was a fact that his body was decaying and stinking. But when the truth of God was spoken through Jesus' mouth, come out of that grave, his truth trumped the facts. And that's what God's truth does. His word never returns void. It always Christ accomplishes exactly what it sets out to do. His truth transforms our circumstances, our lives, our perspectives. His truth is everything. Because he and his word are synonymous. They are one and the same. Jesus was the living word, and he still is the living word. His word spoke and created everything. We didn't get a chance to do this song this morning, So Will I. We're still working on that one, but that was just the embodiment of sort of what this message is, that when he speaks, I mean, he spoke and the galaxies were formed, and this tiny little chunk of rock became inhabited with life at the voice, at the word of God. Think about what his word can still do in our lives, what his truth can do when it speaks to our hearts, what his truth can do when we speak it out into the lives of others. It's powerful. And so that is what Isaiah, this man of God, chose to do. He wasn't popular. He was hated for it. But he spoke truth. He trusted in the truth of the Lord. He stood firmly on it. And so in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11, God is speaking. And he's speaking with Isaiah. And says, Isaiah says this. He says, this is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me. You ever feel that strong hand of the Lord, that weightiness that you just... you feel like you're going to collapse. In fact, I've collapsed under the weight of the Lord several times. I try not to do it on stage because you just got to, you know. But anyways, it's so good. So good when the heavy hand of the Lord comes on you. And it says that he came with a warning. He warned me not to follow the way of this people. And in the United States of America right now, I believe the Lord is warning us, don't follow the ways of this people. People are going astray. They're going astray by the truckloads. We do not want to follow their lead. We want to follow the lead of the Lord. And in verse 12, the Lord says this. Don't call conspiracy everything that this people calls a conspiracy. Don't fear what they fear. Don't dread it. The Lord Almighty, he is the one that you are to regard as holy. And that word holy just literally means set apart. He's set apart. He is the one that you are to fear. He is the only one that you are to dread. Focus back on him, right? And this word of the Lord to Isaiah, it is just as relevant. It is just as impactful. It is as if though the Lord is writing it to us today. Don't call conspiracy everything that you hear conspiracy out there. Don't fear what the people are fearing. Don't dread it. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Fear him alone. Respect him alone. Honor, reveal, glorify him alone. Give him the power and the honor and the authority and the everything. Give it all to him. Fear him alone. He's the only one that we're to dread because he can either bless you or when he removes his blessing, whew, the enemy doesn't play nice. He doesn't play fair. He will take you out. The only thing holding you in safety and in peace and in comfort and in blessing is the hand of the Lord. As soon as you walk out from underneath his covering and his protection, it's just horrible. Read through the book of Isaiah to see some of the things that the enemy did. It's not nice. Then he goes on here. But before we go on, I just, again, don't call conspiracy everything that the people call conspiracy. So what is the difference between conspiracy and prophecy? Because these two get so mixed in the world today, so mixed up, so confused. Conspiracy. This is sort of what the Lord showed me, so right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm going to share it with you too. He showed me this picture because I'm a very visual person. What conspiracy does is it takes facts. Both of these deal with facts, prophecy and conspiracy. And have you ever done one of those like connect the dots drawings? Anybody? Yeah. You know, and it takes these dots that are facts because those are facts. They're the reality. That's what we're dealing with. But what conspiracy does is it takes those dots of facts and it connects them in such a way to paint a picture that causes us to distrust, causes us to fear, rises up an anger within us, and it pretty much brings out all the fruits of the flesh. It brings out all of them. And you read them in Galatians 5, the fruits of the flesh. It brings all those things out. Conspiracies can even contain, listen and understand this, they can even contain the word of God. There are many false prophets in the world today. You can catch them on YouTube. It's great. There's many false prophets out there that they are connecting dots of the word of the Lord. usually they're taking them out of context, and they're just kind of overlaying. They're overlaying the Word of God with the facts that are happening today, and they're forming conspiracies, not prophecy, with them. They may call it prophecy, but it's a conspiracy, and this is how you can detect it and how you can discern it. The source of conspiracy, it's ultimately just man's imagination and planning and scheming. And it's not hard to do. It's very easy. I can take the Word of God and make it say just about anything, you know? I mean, the Word of God tells me to go and to kill every man, woman, child, and beast, right? The Word of God tells me that. Now, if I went out and did that in New Mind here, do you think that it would have the blessing of the Lord? Even though I said, well, the Lord of God said it, right? I mean, here's the Word. You can take the Word, because it is a sword, and you can use it to slice people up, and it's just nasty. But that's what conspiracies do. Biblical prophecy, it has the goal. Even with the Old Testament prophecies that brought words of warning. Remember, even happened in the New Testament. Remember the guy came up and he took his belt off and he tied himself all up and he's like, he told Paul, this is what's going to happen if you go into Rome. And Paul's like, yeah, I know. See you later. I'm heading to Rome, right? Even when it comes and brings a warning, still the ultimate goal of prophecy is very simple. It's this. 1 Corinthians 14:3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And even a warning can bring that. It can bring those things. That is the ultimate goal of biblical prophecy. But what prophecy does is it takes the facts, those dots of facts, and it paints a picture in such a way to form God's perspective over those facts. Prophecy says, yes, this is what is happening, but this is what I'm planning to do through it. It's God saying, this is what I'm up to. This is what my word says. This is what declares the Lord, right? That is what prophecy does. It takes the same facts, but it paints a picture that leads us into God's promises. Prophecy causes us to place our trust in the Lord, not to distrust. Prophecy causes us to possess a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't steal our peace away. Prophecy causes us to have hope and to have all the other fruits of the Spirit. I have hope, I have joy, even though 1,000 are falling at my side and 10,000 at my other side, right? I can have a peace and a joy because I know that it won't touch me at all. It won't harm a hair on my head. We can have that confidence and that assurance. That's what prophecy enables us to do. It enables us to fight the good fight and to win victories. Prophecy's source is God himself. Therefore, it speaks truth and it reveals the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom, as Nikita shared this morning. That's what prophecy does. So it is the fruits that you always want to be inspecting. Jesus didn't tell us not to judge. He said to make a right judgment. He told us that by a person's fruits, you will recognize them. And it's no different with prophecy versus conspiracy. What are the fruits that it is intended to produce? That'll help you discern it right off the bat. When you watch YouTube and you hear these things that are happening and they're saying it in the name of the Lord. Remember Hezekiah last week? What did the commander of the army of Assyria come and do? He came and he spoke in the name of the Lord. He's like, if it wasn't for the Lord, do you really think I'd be here and saying this? He spoke. So don't call conspiracy everything that you hear conspiracy out there. Social media today, if you turn off social media in the news, oh my goodness, you'll think that this life is awesome. You know, but you turn it on, and what's the next thing you know? Man, I turn on Fox News, and Becky knows, and I've been watching Fox News, you know, throughout the day. I'm all worked up. My heart's racing, and I'm like, can you believe what happened? Can you believe that they did this? Like, Biden, what is he up to? What's up? Back to the Lord, right? So we continue on. So Isaiah responded to God's warning. He responded to God's warning with a commitment. It's a commitment that we should all make here and now this morning as well. Isaiah committed not to trust people, not to trust conspiracies, not to trust the bad reports that were spreading throughout the nation. Isaiah said this in verse 17. He said, I will wait for the Lord. How many know bad things may happen to good people? I got a whole message series about it that I preached this year, right? Bad things may happen to good people, but that isn't their destiny. That's not the end of their story. They may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but they're just on their way to green pastures and still waters, right? Right? Believe it this morning. You may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I love what Dave Collier used to say, but I ain't setting up camp there, right? I'm not camping out there. Nope. We're heading through it, not to it. There's a big difference. Conspiracy makes you want to set up tent there. Man, this is awful, and it's going to go from bad to worse. I can only imagine what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, just expecting bad things. Prophecy says, yeah, it's bad right now, but look at where you're heading. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm up to. Prophecy. We are a nation of prophets, right? We are a kingdom of priests and prophets, and so we need to speak a better word. We agree to the facts, and it is good to get informed. Christian brothers and sisters, get informed of what's happening in the world today, not just from, you know, national news, but look what's happening in the world. Stay connected with the persecuted church. See what's happening. Whew. I'm telling you, there's some bad things happening at the persecuted church, but there is revival breaking out in the nations. Revival is spreading. It's good stuff. Anyway, so Isaiah, he committed himself to this. He's like, you know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord. He may be hiding his face from Jacob, from God's people right now, but I'm going to still put my trust in him. I may not see what the Lord is doing right now, and he may have even turned his back on me for this time and for this season, but I know that's not my destiny. He kept calling him back. He went on to encourage God's people to do the same. He encouraged his people, God's people, to seek after God for himself. Because the more that I seek you, what? The more that I find you. And the more that we find him, guess what? You start just falling in love with him and all fear melts away. Battles are won. Wars are waged against the enemy when you're just soaking in the presence of God. Wow. And he said this in verse 19. He's talking to his brothers and sisters in the nation of Judah, in this case. He said, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, those who whisper and they mutter. Anybody whispering and muttering today? You hear any of that happening? You know, saying that, anyways, all kinds of stuff happen. He goes on, he says, shouldn't the people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction. Consult the testimony of his warning. If anyone does not speak according to that word, to God's word, they have no light of dawn. They go about distressed and they're hungry. Do you ever notice the people who love conspiracies? It's an insatiable hunger for it. I want to know the dirt. I want to know. Man, Hillary's email scandal is raising back up. You hear about that, you know? And then you're like, ooh, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. I want to know. I want the dirt. I want the, right? You want gossip. It's not the way the people of the Lord should be, right? Even though my flesh, it starves for that stuff. I'm just going to confess to you this morning, you know? Clickbait, that's what all that stuff is. But these people, they walk around distressed. They're hungry. They roam throughout the land. And when they're famished, they start becoming enraged. Isn't that what that does? It raises up a rage within you. Anger, bitterness. They become enraged. And when they do look upward, they start to curse their king. Anyone doing that in the world today? They start to curse their king, which in our case, it's a constitutional republic. It's our president, right? And they start to curse then their God. They don't do it intentionally and purposefully. They think they're blessing him, but they actually begin to curse him. Because when you start believing people's words and you start believing conspiracies over his word, you're cursing God. You're cursing God. You can't do both at the same time, right? You can't believe me and distrust me at the same time. You can't trust me and disbelieve me. It just doesn't work that way. Relationships can't work that way. And he goes on to verse 22. He says, then they will look toward the earth and they'll see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. They will be thrust into utter darkness. Because all the time the enemy is leading them. And then as soon as they come to that cliff, woof, thrust into darkness. And isn't this what's happening in the world today? When you look around the earth, what do you see? Distress, darkness, fear, gloom. A whole lot of darkness. And you know what? This may sound really weird, but I am so thankful that I'm living in these days. I'm so thankful that I'm living in this generation, that we're not living in the generation that grew up reading the Bible in school and praying in school. And that sounds weird, but bear with me. Because I get to shine brighter than you, neener, neener, you know? I'm living in a darker generation than when you lived in. When I talk about Noah, they're like, who? When I talk about the worldwide flood, what? They have no idea what I'm talking about. I get to shine bright. I get to share hope that they've never even heard before. Their heart isn't callous toward it because they heard it growing up, and it's just like, you know, the Peanuts, you know, adults, wah, 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 heard it, whatever. It's fresh to them. Never heard it before, you know? And so you get to actually, the darker that the world becomes, the brighter that we shine. And it's easy to shine bright in a darkening world, right? I love this quote. I quoted her last week. I'm going to quote her again this week, and I just love her quotes. Of Corrie Ten Boom, and she said this, and most of you have heard it before. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. Amen. If you look at God, then you'll be at rest. What an awesome quote. How appropriate for the world we're living in today, right? We must place our trust in God. We must stand firmly on His truth in faith. Because guess what? That's the only firm footing you have in this world today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, that if you don't stand firm in your faith, you're not going to stand at all. There is a shaking happening across the globe today. And I believe it is a shaking of the Lord, so that the only thing that will remain is that which is unshakable, right? Him, His word, His people. We got some unshakable people in here, right? Doesn't matter what comes our way. We stand firm in faith, and we stand. And what does the Lord tell us? What is His desire for us when all else falls? That we stand. That we stand. That is what we are called to do. So Isaiah goes on to redirect us to this incredible contrast. And this is just the very next verse. I don't know why we put a chapter break in here. It's the very next verse. By the way, God didn't put those in, the books, chapters, verses. It just makes us have an easier time understanding it and finding it when you're flipping, right? Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, he starts with that. I didn't put it up here because I ran out of space. This wall is too tiny. We need it huge so I can fit it all in there. So I cut out. But so Isaiah is telling people, don't consult spiritists. Don't listen to the doom and gloom. Don't listen to their conspiracy theories. So he's going on about all this nastiness and yuck. And he's like, okay. Again, like I do while I'm preaching, shake it off. Okay, nevertheless, all these bad things are happening. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, God humbled the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. Does that sound familiar? Anybody hear about that place? The Sea of Galilee, the way of the Jordan? Someone crying out in the desert. Ever hear about that? Yeah, it was prophesied through Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased their joy. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. As warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. So right now, there's a lot of people living around us in this land, and they are living in darkness. There are a lot of people who are only seeing distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Their hope is dried up. Their expectation is only for bad things to come their way. But we have a living hope, right? We have good news. Good news to share always. Yes, we're living in the same land. We're living within the same facts. We're dealing with the same things that the rest of the world is dealing with, but we have something else. But there's more, right? We love those in the infomercials, but wait, there's more. Because there's more. There's more in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world offers darkness and hopelessness and distress. But the kingdom of God that trumps this world has some good news to share. We have the resources of heaven. The power of God is available to us to bring light into their darkness, to bring transformation into their circumstances. We have the divine opportunity to increase joy instead of multiplying gloom. Isn't that awesome? Quoting from Isaiah, the Apostle Paul reminds us here. I love this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Okay, so we start off with the good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's from Joel 2:32. And it was so true in the day of Isaiah. God kept saying over and over and over again, if you just call on me, I'll answer. If you just turn your hearts to me, I will bless you. I will deliver you. And that's still the word today. Everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved. But how can they call on the one that they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one that they've never even heard of? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, and this is from Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What we need desperately today is to hear something louder than the facts. What we need today is not someone to be the Bob Ross of gloom, to paint pictures connecting dot to dot to dot of conspiracy, to distrust the government, to hate people. What we need is a prophetic people to rise up and to take the paintbrush of the Lord and to connect those dots to paint, okay, this is where we're at, but this is where we're heading. This is what is happening in the world, but thus says the Lord, this is where we're going, this is what's happening, this is what he sees. When God sees this nation, this is what he sees. We're still here, right? He hasn't given up on us. We may be making some really bonehead decisions right now, but the last time I made some bonehead decisions, he didn't strike me and smite me from the face of the earth. He gave me tomorrow to get it right. And he's doing the same with our nation. We may be struck down but not destroyed. We may be oppressed but not persecuted. I've been hearing a lot of things, and I know we were sharing this morning. You know, we need to be praying and interceding for our nation big time. You know, we don't know what's happening. If you haven't heard the news, the ISIS-K people that we killed with our missile from the drone was actually 3 adults and 7 children bringing food to an education center. And the United States government killed them and said it was a righteous strike. We destroyed those who were going to strike us from ISIS-K. We come to find out, not true. We killed innocent people. If somebody did that to the United States of America, do you think we just sit back quietly, or do you think we'd answer with force? Be praying for our nation. We made a mistake. I don't know what's going to follow, but be praying, 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 interceding. We need the Lord's guidance and wisdom and protection once again, desperate for it. But what we need to hear is the truth louder than the facts. We need some prophecy, not conspiracy. We need some good news to build up our hope and faith in the midst of distressful circumstances. We need the truth to break through all the lies and all the conspiracies around us. So it's time for us to rise up, because we're the ones with the truth. You've been entrusted with it. You've been entrusted with a living hope. You've been entrusted with the very word of God that can bring comfort and hope and encouragement, that can break through all the lies with truth. And I love this. It's time for us to start fighting the good fight of faith. It's time for us to start letting some captives free. You have been anointed to set the captives free. And it is the truth of the Lord that can do it. I love this. It's one of Charles Spurgeon's sermons, and it's entitled Christ and His Co-workers. He preached this in 1886, and man's is still applicable today. This is what he said. This is what he said. And it's going to be a long one, but just bear with me. He said, suppose a number of persons were to take it into their heads, and that they had determined that they were going to defend a lion, a full-grown king of beasts. There he is, in the cage. And here come all the soldiers of the army to fight for that lion. Well, I should suggest to them, if they would not object, of course, I feel that it might be humbling to them, but that they should stand back, open the door, and just let that lion out. He'll defend himself, right? I believe that would be the best way of defending him, for he would take care of himself. And I love this. And this is what you hear quoted so often from this sermon of Charles Spurgeon. He said, the best apology for the gospel is just to let the gospel out. The Lion of Judah is ready to break forth. He's speaking a good word. He's ready to roar. And we don't need to defend and apologize and worry about hurting feelings. You know what we need to do? Just speak the truth. Let the gospel out. It will take care of itself. Right? Our responsibility is to share the good news with people. That's your responsibility. You cannot control how people will respond to it. Isaiah was hated by a lot of people for it, but he was also loved by a lot of people for it. Hezekiah sought him out, remember? And I love how the Word of God, you know, Don't read it from book to, from cover to cover, because it's not written in chronological order. You know, there's in the book of Isaiah and the book of 2 Kings, they're overlapping, happening at the same time. So anyways, but our responsibility is just that. Our role is to tell people about Jesus, to invite them to receive his salvation, to share some hope with them, to share the truth of God's word and what he says. But their response to that invitation is completely up to them. However, remember what Paul wrote in Romans 10. They never, ever have the opportunity to receive the invitation if somebody doesn't extend it to them. They can't call on the name of Jesus if they've never even heard about Jesus. And why would they call on the name of Jesus if someone doesn't say, tell them why they should call on the name of Jesus and what he has promised to do for them? We got to unlock the cage of our mouths, of our words, of our actions, and we just need to let the gospel out. Let the gospel out of the cage of your body, whatever that looks like, through actions, through words, through whatever. It's time to unlock that cage, right? I want you to take a moment and look down at your feet. Now, for those of you who don't know, I have 9 toes. They're not the prettiest feet. That's another story for another time. I love freaking out toddlers with it. I sent my nephew looking for my toe. I don't know how many times. It's great. Where is it? I don't know. I can't find it. And he's looking everywhere. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, look at those feet. Those are some of the most beautiful feet on the face of the earth. At the end of those very toes is where heaven meets earth. It's where heaven, the kingdom of heaven, invades the kingdom of this earth. It is where the kingdom of light pierces the kingdom of darkness. It is right there where the presence of God is getting carried out into the world. It is right there where that light is breaking through and shattering the fearful gloom that is holding people captive. Within us is the Holy Spirit, that same very Spirit that inspired every one of the authors of the Bible who wrote the scriptures. That same Holy Spirit that was present at creation, who spoke and everything came into existence. It is within those feet that the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, dwells. That is what the Word of God teaches us. How beautiful are your feet? Beautiful feet. They've got some good news to share, right? Jesus said, I've got much more that I want to share with you. Way more that I want to share with you. More than you can even bear is what he said. John 16, 12. But, I'm going to keep quiet for now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He won't speak on his own. He'll only speak what he hears. And he will tell you about things that is yet to come. And in everything, he's going to glorify me, because it is from me that you will receive him, and that he will make you known to you all of the things that I share with him. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that's why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you, because they're all one. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus, they're all one. We have the Spirit of truth dwelling within us. We've got that line of Judah within us. The truth, the living truth, the living Word of God is within us. And it is through this life and through these words that that line can become uncaged and the gospel can roam the streets and bring some change, right? The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God, who knows all things, dwelling right here within us. He will reveal those secret hidden things. He will reveal the fullness of truth. He will share through us the truth that sets the captives free, right? That makes those some beautiful feet indeed. And then again, Paul wrote about this truth. He says that we are waging war. We are living in a war. And he says that although we live in the world, we don't wage war the way that the world does. In verse 4, he says that the weapons that we fight with, they're not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Don't miss out on those Thursday nights. You're going to be trained and equipped to do exactly this. Demolish strongholds in your own life and in the lives of others. Because it is the truth of God that demolishes those things. It is the truth that sets us free and keeps us free by demolishing those footholds, those strongholds, and every other hold that the enemy tries to get into your life. It is the truth of God that sets us free, that delivers the captives. And when we seek God for truth, he will reveal it to us. He said this in Isaiah 45:19. God said, I haven't spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. Sound familiar, right? He's not speaking through that dark place. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. You know, he said, I, the Lord, speak the truth, and I declare what is right. The Lord is not far from any of us. His truth is shouting from the mountaintops and the valleys and the blades of grass, and his truth is speaking constantly. The question is, are we listening to it? Are we allowing his truth to penetrate our minds and our thoughts? Are we allowing his truth to speak louder than the facts? It is crying out day and night everywhere that we go. But we have to learn to hear it, to see it, to recognize it. And perhaps more importantly than all, to understand it. When Isaiah was commissioned by the Lord, he was taken straight into God's throne room, straight into the very presence of God. And it was here that the Lord not only freed him and healed him and forgave him, but it was there that the Lord sent him out to speak truth to a people who are blinded and deafened to it. And it ended this way in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord, and as after the cold touched his lips and cleansed him and purified him of all of his sin. And he said, and he heard the voice of the Lord. And I want us not to be like the people of Isaiah's nation, not to be like the people of this nation, not to be like the people of the world, but to be like Isaiah, who heard the voice of the Lord. So listen for the voice of the Lord and what he is speaking to you this morning, because he is shouting truth into your life that's going to set you free, that is going to bless you, that is going to guide and direct you and give you wisdom. But Isaiah heard a voice of the Lord, and the Lord said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And so the Lord said, okay, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and their eyes closed. Otherwise, I think there's a bit of sarcasm here, by the way. He wasn't really telling Isaiah to make those things happen. It was already happening. And by Isaiah speaking truth, it just caused the hard hearts to get harder. It caused the deafened ears to close up even firmer. It caused the blinded eyes to squeeze that much tighter. They didn't want to hear from the Lord. Because the Lord said otherwise, they might see with their eyes. They might hear with their ears. They might understand with their hearts. And when that happens, they will turn to me and they will be healed. Now, I believe in the same way this morning, God is sending you and I out into this gloomy, dark world this morning. We are being sent out to speak God's truth. That's our mission. The results, those are between God and those who hear the good news of his truth. You can't control people. But our job, our mission, our responsibility before the Lord is to unlock that cage, unleash the Lion of Judah, and let the gospel go out into the world. So we get to go out there. We get to let these beautiful feet bring the light of Christ into an ever-darkening world. We get to share some good news in the dark, dark contrast of all the bad news that people are hearing right now. We get to share a living hope with those whose hope are running dry. We get to be like Elijah in that valley of dry bones, prophesying to those dry bones whose hope is dried up so they can rise up to be an army. And so again, that reminder from Isaiah 8:12. Do not call conspiracy everything that this people calls a conspiracy. Instead, look for prophecy. Seek the Lord for prophecy. Speak the word of prophecy. Don't fear what they fear. Don't be afraid of all of these things that you're hearing in the news, all these facts. Fear the Lord only. He's the only one that can spare you from all those things. And don't dread it. Instead of dread, have hope. Instead of choosing to put the blinders on and walking in darkness, let the Lord's light shine in and through you. When the Lord asks, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Be like Isaiah and be like, you know what, Lord? Here I am. Send me. Send me. So if I have the worship team come forward, we're going to end on a song of worship. We're going to actually end with trust in you, because that's really what this is a call to do. The call to believe in what the Lord is saying, because often what the Lord speaks is contradictory to what we're seeing around us, right? That's because the Lord isn't going to share with you what you already know. The Lord wants to share with you a word that changes things, a word that brings transformation, a word that brings light to darkness, a word that brings life to death, just like Lazarus. So what the Lord is speaking to you may be confusing and seem contradictory. So just let go of it. Let go of your need to understand what is happening. Let go of your need to understand why. Let go of your need to understand how. And just trust the Lord. Say, Lord, I will go. Send me. Lord, send your word into my heart. Send your word into my mind. I'm going to let go of everything else. And I'm going to trust what you say alone, Lord. I'm going to trust you. Trust you.